What?
We're gonna lose you now.
We'll try to catch up later.
6x6 and a foul. Please link your arms. 6x6, please. 6x6, please. 6x6, please. 6x6 and a foul.
Fascist.
6x6 and a foul. There we go.
And to the surprise of motorists as they come up this massive line coming through the campus, FSM monitors have been forced to act also as policemen, directing the cars to one side and ordering the line to stop to allow the chapter to go through. And the line continues, thousands of students marching to the region's office.
And now the group is making the last
pass down toward the administration building, the all-university administration building. The pace of the march has slowed to a very, very slow march. The American flag and the banner of free speech leading the line, and packed tightly, six abreast, some thousands upon thousands of students moving down to the region's meeting.
And the question of the rear of the line, now coming through, indicate that the line, the end of the line, has not yet left the plaza in front of the student union. As we approach the site of University Hall,
yet another picket line is there. Signs at this point reading UC Unfair. I understand that this is the Millman's Union. Can't read the signs from across the street.
Those pickets. Unfair, stop racing attacks on Southern segregationists.
By California cabinets. Millman's Union 550, Brotherhood of Carpenters, Oakland. Attention, Clark Kerr, stop undermining California living standards. Use our tax money for California cabinets. Industrial carpenters of Millman's Union and several Millman's Union locals joining this picket line in a labor dispute with the university.
One interesting sidelight is that as the free speech movement picket line approached,
the Millman's Union, Millman's and Carpenters Union picket line, which was in front of University Hall, moved down, leaving the east sidewalk of the administration building free for the free speech movement. It was earlier announced that the Millman's Local 550 supported the FSM.
And now the Berkeley is holding up traffic on Oxford Street.
The thousands of students from the free speech movement are moving across the street, down along the east facade of University Hall, the administration building for the entire University of California.
And as the tape is playing
a song sung by Ms. Baez earlier in the rally, the head of the line has now come full sweep across the east facade of the administration building, taking a dip to the west to pass by a corner of a low building in back of the administration building in which the regions are meeting, and then moving back east again over to the university side of Oxford to sit on the green lawn at the western boundary of the University of California at Berkeley. And as about 1,500 people are now seated already. More and more are coming packed solidly along the street on the other side of, the sidewalk on the other side of the street, and yet more hundreds are coming down, people who have not yet left the walkway on the campus itself, coming down to the university. Round of applause just went out for a group of the people who work in the administration building who have just put up a sign in the window reading, "Help."
Move into the rear and
All my trials?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, give her the free seat.
That money could buy. You know the rich would live and the poor would die. Oh, my trials, Lord, soon be over. Grows a tree in tree of life. Oh, my trials, Lord, soon be over. Oh, my trials,
use this for all. I'll spell your answer.
Wish we had the stand here, damn it. I didn't know this was going to go on, and your friend, incidentally, the fellow that was there earlier today, you know, that walked up with us. He's back there. I think he's going to
meet right over there.
Oh, well, he thought he was going to meet you at the station.
Yeah.
And I'll show you a young man with so many reasons why there but for fortune go you.
announcement to make, and then we'll have some more singing. Our delegation of five people has been officially seated in the room. Now, someone said they just got the LA Press delegation seat. We still do not know whether they are going to be permitted to present our platform and to answer any questions the regents have. The meeting is now a closed meeting, however, so we will probably not know until someone comes out whether they have been permitted to speak. But they are in the meeting now, and I assume are requesting are acting on the formal request to present the platform to the regents.
Dona Dona? Yeah. Okay, sing the chorus to that with me. And if I forget the words, will you please shout them to me? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. Yes, I did, but anyway.
On a wagon bound for market, there's a calf with a mournful eye. High above him there's a swallow winging swiftly through the sky. All the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through and half the summer's night. Dona, 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 dona. Stop complaining, said the farmer, who told you to be. Why don't you have wings to fly with, like the swallow so proud and free? How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through and half the summer's night. Dona, dona, dona. The swallow has learned to fly. How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through and half the summer's night. Dona, 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 dona.
There have been a number of people who have written songs about the movement and have sung them at various rallies of ours in the past. We'd like it very much if those people would come forward if they'd like to sing their songs. I understand that Davy Mandel wrote some songs and sang them at a rally very recently. Joe LaPenta also has written some songs. Ken Sanderson. So would these people and any other people who've written songs about the rally, about the FSM and sung them at our rallies, please come forward and speak to Jack, because the microphone's open. We'd like it very much if you would come down and sing your songs too. Jack? Yeah, why don't you put that to the side so it's not sticking in your face? Now has some announcements to make about some other people who would like to sing.
Yeah, there have been several songs written in the last month, and I think a lot of you might like to hear some of them. I think some of them are very good. The first one is by Lee Felsenstein, and it was sung at a rally. And these songs were not written for the FSM or commissioned by us, but I think these are songs that are very interesting.
They're all in good fun, Jack.
And they're all in good fun.
I hear we're inside, by the way, so we're all just going to stay here. We're going to.
They haven't accepted yet.
Yeah, but I hear they're at the door. They're inside. They're inside. I don't know if they're going to be able to present anything, but they're inside. So let's just all hang, loose
head,
and just keep calm here, and we'll just continue the way we are. Calm song, sort of a silent, calm vocal thing.
The song is entitled "I'm Going to Put My Name Down." It's taken from. Well, they've asked me to speak between the mics so that the KPFA can pick it up, too. I'm no ham, but I'm sympathetic with microphones, so try to... Okay. And this one, too. Okay. This better? All right, in case you didn't get the title of the song, it is "I'm Going to Put My Name Down," and there was another song written for the CIO by that same name. I borrowed extensively from it. In other words, I changed a few words around. The chorus, everyone can and should sing. It's pretty bad if you don't sing it. The tune is Woody Guthrie's Hard Traveling. And I'll sing the chorus first. And I'll sing it two times. The second time, you can come in. And first time, if you can make it. But wrong key. Just a second. I'm gonna put my name down, brother, where do I sign? Sometimes you have to lay your body on the line. We're gonna make this campus free and keep it safe for democracy. So I'm gonna put my name down. I'm gonna put my name down, brother, where do I sign? Sometimes you have to lay your body on the line. We're gonna make this campus free and keep it safe for democracy. So I'm gonna put my name down. We can solicit funds, I thought you knowed. That would be a hideous crime way down the road. I got a brother in a southern jail, and he needs money for his bail. So I'm gonna put my name down. Everybody now, gonna put my name down. Brother, where do I sign? Sometimes you have to lay your body on the line. We're gonna make this campus free and keep it safe for democracy. And I'm gonna put my name down. I'm omitting a name in this verse because we're standing in front of it. We're gonna have that man's job, I thought you knowed. We're gonna see him unemployed away down the road. We're gonna give him that good old deadline, make that headline or make that breadline. I'm gonna put my name down. I'm gonna put my name down, brother, where do I sign? Sometimes you have to lay your body on the line. We're gonna make this campus free and keep it safe for democracy. And I'm gonna put my name down. Take those students back, they said, I thought you knowed. At least until you've proven them guilty way down the road. That man simply uttered no, the Constitution's red, you know. I'm gonna put my name down. I'm gonna put my name down, brother, where do I sign? Sometimes you have to lay your body on the line. We're gonna make this campus free and keep it safe for democracy. And I'm gonna put my name down. Just a second. We're gonna break the rules, I thought you knowed. Yes, we're gonna talk and think way down the road. Well, what do we want? Why, the mess, the Constitution, nothing less. I'm gonna put my name down. I'm gonna put my name down, brother, where do I sign? Sometimes you have to lay your body on the line. We're gonna make this campus free and keep it safe for democracy. And I'm gonna put my name down.
We're going to have one more original song, and then I think Joan will come back. Okay, one more original song. This is by Dave Mandel.
Where is he, David?
Pardon?
It's probably the most versatile kind of accompaniment, and the easiest song to write to is Talking Blues. It's called the Battle of Berkeley Talking Blues, and hopefully we won't have to go through the same thing a second time. Let me tell you a tale of campus sin, of tables and regions a big sit-in, the day the students built a mountain atop a police car near Ludwig's fountain, defying law and order, and thinking, God forbid. It all started out near Sather Gate, September 30th was the fateful date. The rebels sat in cans on hand, a threat to traffic on the Regent's land. That's sabotaged by the ISC, the Intercampus League Conspiracy. The rebels were ousted, the tables banned, the deans thought they'd won their hands, and came a sight they never thought they'd see, a genuine sit-in at the halls of Big C. Civil disobedience, an essay come alive. That's real education in action. Sproul Hall spoke in tones of woe. From our marble steps you'll have to go. We wouldn't threaten, but we'll tell you true. Might be forced to suspend you too. Policy, you know. Regulations, things like that. We can enforce it too. We'll call out the troopers from Oakland. The students left the steps that night, but returned to the tables in a show of might. Cops tried to split them, but to no avail. 400 gladly went to jail, or built their own. That's the kind of jail that's walled in on all sides by prisoners. Then came from patriotic might, rotten eggs bursting by the dawn's early light, red-blooded lads from fraternity lane, proudly upholding Cal's great name, shouting, we want our car. We want our, we want, we. Friday Eve brought a glorious sight, 400 cops just itching for a fight. Clark was bluffing, Mario knew, but they signed a pact and the cops withdrew. They'll write a book about it someday. They'll probably call it a motorcycle for your thoughts. The FSM is now in action at the multi-U. There's a multi-faction. Free speech is coming because some spoke out to get all our rights. We'll have to shout, but don't worry about it. It's okay if you wake some people up, because morning's come.
Some people have been saying that the volume is not loud enough for people in the back. Can you hear? Fine. Our delegation has just returned from the Regents' meeting. So I'd like to introduce Steve Weissman, we'll tell you what went on. Steve?
This is extremely serious, and I'm going to have to ask that we make no rapid decisions after you hear the various announcements. President Kerr recommended that the Regents set certain Hyde Park areas which would be open to the students for advocacy of lawful action. This was passed. Any of you who have been following this will understand immediately that this will place the Chancellor's office in the position of prior restraint. They will determine in advance those actions which they will consider lawful. After this had been done, it was recommended that no oral presentations be accepted, in that the Regents had received requests from large numbers of people. I doubt that they had received a request from as large a group of people as this. Nonetheless, this was passed, and at present, the Regents are considering further of the faculty recommendations. I do not understand how they could accept the faculty recommendations or ours after having moved that the Chancellor be given the right to determine what is and what is not lawful political and social activity. What we're going to do here, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Ron Anastasi, and he's going to give you a rundown of that part of the meeting which we saw. And then afterward, we're going to have to decide together what our next course of action is. I would suggest that there were two or three members of the Board of Regents who did seem sympathetic and who were not happy about passing that part of the Chancellor's request which put the word lawful before political and social activity. I would also point out that this wording is the wording that the legal counsel Cunningham had suggested to President Kerr in the letter which we have spoken of previously. So it seems that, and I believe Kerr denied that this letter had any importance. So it would seem that we have been negotiating for a month and a half, and after that month and a half of negotiations, we are stuck with the same proposal that the Regents Council was ready to make before. Here's Ron Anastasi.
Okay. When we got in there, the Regents were in the middle of discussing business other than the business which we were interested in. After we had been there for about 15 minutes, the floor was turned over to President Kerr. He then mentioned that because of recent events on the campus, the question of student political activity on the campus had become very important. He said that much study had gone into this question and that many proposals had been submitted to the Regents. However, because of the very complicated nature of the proposals, because of the fact that many of them had been submitted late
he proposed that the regents study them to report on most of them at the next meeting. Then he said, however, there are two immediately important issues which I will bring before this meeting. The first issue was regent action on the report of the Hayman Committee regarding the suspensions of the 8 students. He then set forth a recommendation from he and Chancellor Strong that the following action be taken on the Hayman report. I'll now read his recommendation. Chancellor Strong and I recommend as follows. 1, that the sole and total penalty for the 6 students be suspension from September 30th to date. I'm going to read now from the Hayman report, where they have recommended that those same 6 students be reinstated, not now, but as of the date of their suspensions. The Hayman report went on to say that the penalty of indefinite suspension should be expunged from the record of each student. Once again, the recommendation of President Kerr and Chancellor Strong was that the sole and total penalty for the 6 students be suspension from September 30th to date. Number 2, that the other 2 students be suspended for the period from September 30th, 1964 to date, and that they be placed on probation for the current semester for their actions up to and including September 30th, 1964. From the Hayman report, we recommend that the suspensions of Mr. Goldberg and Mr. Savio should be for the specific period of 6 weeks beginning September 30th, 1964. They should be reinstated as of now with no further action. Once again, President Kerr and Chancellor Strong recommended the students be reinstated now, Mr. Savio and Mr. Goldberg, but they be placed in a state of probation. Number 3, that adjustments in academic programs be permitted for the 8 students on approval by the appropriate academic dean. Number 4, new disciplinary proceedings before the Faculty Committee on Student Conduct will be instituted immediately against certain students and organizations for violations subsequent to September 30th, 1964. Number 5, that rules and regulations be made more clear and specific, and thus, incidentally and regrettably, more detailed and legalistic, and that explicit penalties, where possible, be set forth for specific violations. Number 6, that the Berkeley campus be given sufficient staff in the Dean of Students' Office and the Police Department so that as nearly as possible, all students involved in violations be identified with the fullest possible proof, since the incompleteness of identification of participants and collection of full proof have been held against the university. Also, that the General Counsel's office be given sufficient staff so it may participate as necessary in the legal aspects of student discipline cases, particularly since a more legalistic approach is being taken to a student discipline. Number 7, and the last point, that the right and ability of the university to require students and others on campus to identify themselves be assured by whatever steps are necessary. It's signed, Clark Kerr.
The faculty proposal, which was put before the Board of Regents, In this question of advocacy of off-campus political and social action, gave the students far weaker protections than are guaranteed them by the United States Constitution. The Board of Regents didn't think that was bad enough. So they took Clark Kerr's recommendation, which we have evidence was cooked up by their general counsel, Cunningham, and we presented it in the Daily, we presented that in the Daily Cal already. Evidence was cooked up by the general counsel, Cunningham, before the beginning, before the middle of October, at least. The reason, and the same wording, this insertion of the word lawful, same wording which Clark Kerr read, had been recommended by the general counsel, and we've documented it. And the reason the general counsel gave was that the regulations as then in effect could not be defended in a court of law because they're clearly unconstitutional. That's documented likewise. So he recommended insert this word, change the structure of the wording a little bit, so that they will be a little bit more defensible, so we'll have some chance in a court case. So Clark Kerr made that recommendation today to the Board of Regents, and I'll read the recommendation. First, it's in two paragraphs. One, the Regents restate the long-standing university policy as set forth in Regulation 25 on student conduct and discipline that, quote, all students and student organizations, dot, 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 obey the laws of the state and community. Two, that's fine, you know? Two, the Regents adopt the policy effective immediately that certain campus facilities, carefully selected and properly regulated, may be used by students and staff for planning, implementing, or raising funds for recruiting or recruiting participants for lawful off-campus action, not for unlawful off-campus action. That is far stricter than anything any faculty member has proposed. It's exactly the policy that the president decided to adopt and decided to recommend to the Regents back middle of October, has the effect of putting students in the university who are advocating these things, putting them in a situation of prior restraint. You know, it's against the law. Violates the Constitution. And here it is, and the Regents just passed it. It's a bunch of wise men. Last week, said, you know, if the Regents don't come down with two horrendous restrictions, then I guess for a while anyway, we're going to have to fold up shop. And I didn't say that with regret, because I'm damn tired. I think those people who've come out to demonstrations and have been at rallies, I think we're all awfully tired of having to spend our time defending the Constitution because the Regents are too busy deciding whether dividends on stocks the Regents hold are coming through well enough. They read a whole report on just that matter, you know, they just got done with that, and they're quite happy because they really have a going concern. The business is, you know, shooting along just fine. But here they are, they set down their unconstitutional restrictions on our freedoms. The courts aren't enough, according to them. It's not enough that laws already exist against illegal speech. It's not enough, you know, that it's a crime to advocate crime under certain circumstances. No, worse, it's got to be, likewise, against university regulations, far stricter than any that would hold up in any court of law. They're not prepared to indict you on the crimes of solicitation to crime or criminal conspiracy. No, they'll leave that to the district attorney. They know he's anxious. No, they want something stronger. They want to decide when you've abused your freedom of speech. They want to decide, not the courts, not the Constitution. And then when they've made the decision in their administrative hearings, and you know what that'll mean, that they'll probably appoint some faculty members that's got to look respectable, who will then, you see, make recommendations to the chancellor, just like the Hayman Committee made recommendations, which were not accepted. That's what they're going to do. Administrative hearings are going to decide when you've abused your freedom of speech, and then the university is going to decide what should be done about those abuses, what kind of disciplinary action should be taken. Well, now, negotiations have broken down at the Oakland Tribune. We're going to start advocating that people go down there. You know what's going to happen? Might just turn out that in somebody's opinion, unlawful acts have occurred. They don't even leave it up to the courts the way the faculty does. I suppose they're going to decide if the acts that occur there are unlawful. Let's say, for example, you know, there are sit-ins, this may occur. Let's say that some people will be convicted, others acquitted. Hung juries may result in some cases. But the actions will be the same, and the university, according to this, has the power to decide that all were committing unlawful acts, and that whatever advocacy took place on campus was not legitimate advocacy, that it was an abuse of free speech. And then when they decide it's an abuse of free speech, campus core is axed, its leaders are axed, whatever other groups took part, likewise, this is what they want to do. Well, pretty soon they're going to have a chance to enforce it. And I'm serving public notice on them now. We're going to be ready for them. We're not going to take it sitting down. If they try to enforce these unconstitutional regulations, they're going to suffer for it. Mike Rossman, whose committee has been compiling a report on past political oppression on the Berkeley campus, would like to say a few words.
I'm disappointed. I gather that you're all disappointed, too. It looks like if we want to keep this up, if we want to continue fighting for what we began fighting for, there's going to be a long and a bitter battle ahead. The time, parenthetically, to start that battle, I think, will be Monday. They did not hear the delegation of five we sent in, which was a delegation that represents, as is evident from the crowd here, the largest student protest, the largest student asking for rights that has ever occurred on this campus, or to my knowledge, has ever occurred in the entire country. They did not listen. They have disregarded the recommendations of the Hayman Committee and, in addition, intend to institute disciplinary proceedings against how many more of us? The 70 more who were cited? The 200 graduates whose names were sent in? The 800 who signed the list? How many? They disregarded at least three separate proposals from the faculty. They disregarded the proposal from the student body as represented by the ASUC insofar as it represents the student body, and the proposal of the FSM, which I do trust represents those people here. Instead, they listened to their legal counsel for the best way to get around what we want, we being the faculty, the students. In one or another form, we have expressed our wishes. They have been denied. We have no voice. We have never had a voice. They are not giving us a voice now. They will fight to the last, delicately, professionally, discreetly, by memorandums, by legal counsels, but they will fight to the last bitter end not to give us any voice. I do not want to say anything inflammatory about it now. This is something that everyone should, I think, take home and ponder for himself. Ponder it for the weekend. Maybe have it pondered by Monday, because, well, I do not know what Monday will bring. I do not know if